listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I'm not a father, but I've been around a lot of kids. I was a kid, obviously. If you make a kid lie to you, they will. If you say you can't ever do this, that, the other, blah, blah. You go to college, you can't have a sip of beer till you're 21. Well, are they going to listen? Probably not. You're forcing them by circumstances to lie to you because the alternative is not tenable. It's not viable, not possible. It's not possible to ask a Gordon, a Melvin Gordon, a Zeke to not get one big payday. And I get it. It's all relative. And it'd be easy to say, oh, well, you know, he made a half a mil his first year in 16. 1.6, 2.7, 3.9, boo-hoo. Okay. But if you're looking at everyone around you that you're better than, that you contribute more than across the league, and they're making not 30% more, but maybe five times as much, it's only human nature that they want to get properly paid. I'm very critical when someone's already got $170 million of salary, and then they have, you know, they're 31 and they're going to take four extra million to go to this place that can't win. Now, if they're broke, if they burn through all that, it's a different story. But if you've got the liquid cash, we're just talking about that fourth house, I think other things should be more important. But if somehow, some way Zeke did not make another dollar, does he have enough money for himself? Probably. I don't know what he's done with it. But does he have enough money for his kids or his kids' kids? You know, they say generational wealth. If you are a founding CEO or a great CEO, Steve Jobs' kids don't have to worry about anything, and their kids don't. I think, let's be honest, billions are being made. The way the NFL is set up today and the reality of the running back position, that fifth year for first-round picks is untenable for the running back to just keep nodding and saying, okay, no problem, because by the time, it's not just deferring the payday, it's will they ever get it. And the last thing I'll say about it is, and we put odds on this, how many big name running backs are going to sign a big contract past the rookie deal in the next 5 years? My over under on that is literally one and a half.
Yep.
One and a half. If there's two of them in the next 5 years, I'd be surprised. With Zeke, it seems like he doesn't think he's getting one. Because if he felt like he was, he would sign the extension right now. By definition, the Cowboys are not offering an extension, which is a sign. Does Zeke, one you would think would get it, is he going to get it?
Doesn't look like it, maybe.
Yeah, and I think these actions now tend to speak to that. Do you agree, Jonas?
Yeah, I also think looking at the organization, they've shown before in the past, DeMarco Murray was a guy who had 1,800 plus yards, wanted a new deal. Not only did Dallas let him walk, they let him walk to a division rival in Philly. So they've shown that they value their offensive line maybe more than that position.
It's a great point. It's a great point, though. He was a little older. How old was he when they let him go? Murray?
Mid to late 20s, I want to say.
Well, I don't think it was mid. Well, listen, we're going to look that up. And I'm going to say, I think one last thing about this Cowboy situation before that, which is Jerry Jones is feeling his mortality. And oftentimes, you've got to cut to cure. But if he's figuring, I don't know how many years, and again, we're hoping all good things for everybody, right? The good people, but he's feeling it, right? He's talked about it, and is he willing to take a step back to take two steps up? If they don't re-sign Zeke, it probably will hurt them the first year without him, maybe even the second year without him. But the theory is long-term, the team's better off without Zeke. And by the way, you could make the same point about Dak. To me, if Dak gets signed for the numbers he's talking, I think it hurts the Cowboys' chances to win a title in the next 5 or 7 years. But if you're Jerry Jones, are you willing to step back two steps for the potential of stepping forward 3 years down the road? You have the age?
Yeah, Murray was 26 when the Cowboys let him go.
Wow, that young.
Yep.
Wow, then Zeke might be right to be looking for it.
Straight out of Vegas! Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Madden, Brad, listen, you've got a different way of looking at a lot of stuff. And I'll be candid with you. It almost sounds like a joke. It sounds like a Mad Magazine or an Onion where, you know, handicapper has his game of the year off Madden ratings. But you're of the generation more. I'm more of a Tecmo guy. This matters.
It does. I mean, it's
how so? Well, defend yourself.
Well, I mean, obviously, it goes into the game on how well your certain team can be off the player ratings. But I think it also, if you talk to players, and Jonas would know this more than me, I think it matters. Certainly, when I've seen player interviews, they're all intrigued about what their Madden player rating. Sometimes you can get a player with a chip on his shoulder just off of how he was graded as far as Madden goes. And let's talk quarterbacks, off one sensational year.
Well,
Patrick
hold on
Mahomes
a second. So, hold on a second. So what you're saying is that the psychology of the player, the famous stories of Jordan, putting up pictures of his high school team photo when he got cut or whatever, that someone comes in and they don't, like, for example, Brady.
Yeah.
Brady has a 96. Patrick Mahomes has a 97. Brady's going to be thinking about that when he's squatting.
Maybe.
Let's just say that Brady's probably less likely than most, but I think that's true. I actually think, Jonas, there's a better way to use these Madden ratings than try to discern who's going to be extra motivated. I think you look to see who's overrated because I think these ratings are indicative of public perception. And Mahomes is a perfect example. I wasn't like a flashy kid. I wasn't like going around in a Karate Kid type headbands or anything. But I think even I, less flashy as a 12-year-old, 13, 14, 15, you watch Mahomes play, it looks like he's playing a different game. And maybe he is. Maybe this is the next generation. And if you can get ahead as an NFL bettor of someone who's underrated, you can make a lot of money, no doubt. But once any player plateaus, once the world has a chance to see where they are, truthfully, if that player is flashy, if that player is great, every great player tends to be overrated. Now, that seems counterintuitive. They're great, yeah. But the best player in the world can be overrated. The worst player can be underrated. It's all relative. Mahomes, is he the best quarterback? I don't think so. Is he close? I think so. But he's number one here, which is a sign of the public loving him. So let's look at some numbers. Mahomes had an MVP season, right, Brad?
Yep.
How did he do to start with when you could make the case he was better than perception? People hadn't caught up to Mahomes. And then how did he do once people caught up? Against the spread.
Yep. Kansas City as a team against the spread started the season 7-0 against the number. RJ.
All right. So you might say, well, he was getting popular. Yes, but he was ahead. His truth was ahead of perception. But then at a certain point, the truth got out there. And then
in their last 11 games, the Chiefs only covered 3 times in those 11 games.
Seven straight, then 3 covers in the last 11. Here's an adage, one of the commandments. You cannot make money betting the best or most popular players. And if they're best and most popular, it's a double whammy. Right? If a guy isn't as football sexy, he can be elite and that team still. And obviously you're betting teams here, but I think it applies to fantasy sports, same concept. Are people going to overpay for Mahomes? Probably.
Yep.
And the Madden numbers are indicative of public perception. I think they're more of a sign than they are something that's going to cause an effect. I think they're a sign of public perception, though in some cases I can envision that they would be a motivational tool. Jonas, as the voice of the fans, does that make sense to you that this is like a bellwether of being overrated.
Yeah, because it's almost like a law of averages. If you're so great, you can only go down, right? No, you can't be that consistently great. It's very, very rare that we see somebody great consistently, especially in the NFL. So the idea would be to bet against, so to speak, Patrick Mahomes this next season based on the season he had the year before.
If you forced me to say you got to bet on KC every game or against him every game, I certainly would go against him. Though my guess is throughout the season, I'll probably be against him, you know, 3 to 5 times. There's no team, you know, the line just plain has to be wrong. And oftentimes the line can be shaded one way, but it's not wrong enough to lay minus 110. So that's why when we do our green button bets, if I think I have a 51% chance, I'll press the green button because there's no VIG. It's 100 to win 100. But if you're laying 110, you got to hit 52.38%, right? So you got to win an extra game out of every, 40, I guess. An extra game every 40 just to break even. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, does it? Once every 40 games, you've got to be right because of your extra handicapping ability. But by estimates, 97% of bettors up to 99 lose long-term on sports. That's one of the reasons, quite frankly, we are adamant on Straight Out of Vegas that winning is not easy. And there's other good... Is any show this good? Come on, you know the answer to that. But do other shows, do other websites other than pregame.com have good content? Heck yeah. Here's how you can know, though, stay away from a show, stay away from a website, an app. If they act like winning is easy, or if they don't keep reminding you winning is hard, the best advice I can give you coming into football is bet less games and bet less money because you can still enjoy them, but the expense of the experience, and for most people it will be an expense, is less.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
RJ, we know that Anthony Davis is now a Los Angeles Laker. He was introduced publicly for the first time over the weekend with Rob Pelinka and head coach Frank Vogel by his side. Here was Anthony Davis.
The league has grown. I think it's better. All the players, you know, teaming up and kind of spreading that talent throughout the league. It's going to be a fun season. I like our roster. I like, you know, every player that we have, you know, from 1 through 14. So I'm excited about it. And, you know, I'll put our roster up against anybody.
So here's what I know, and this is going to be freaky, is think about Anthony Davis's career so far and think about Chris Paul right when he was going to Los Angeles, the Clippers. Because to me, what was the story on Paul? Oh, best player in a bad franchise. Oh, he stuck around for a while, but he had to get out of there. Oh, now we're going to see what he can do. Oh, he doesn't seem to have a problem blaming his circumstances. Isn't that exactly a description of Chris Paul when he was in New Orleans?
Yeah,
Brad?
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Sounds a lot like Anthony Davis, doesn't it?
Yep.
To me, in business, and I've dealt from the top to the bottom in business, whereas literally we have a show on Fox Sports Radio, and literally I've had many arguments with bookies to get my money. That's about as top and as bottom as you can get. And one thing I've noticed with successful people, and Jonas, Daryl, anyone jump in here, Brad, you work for Phil Steele. Successful people don't like excuses. They especially don't like excuses for themselves. What makes them successful is they impose their will upon the situation. And to me, the best part, Michael didn't win a title because he didn't have the supporting cast initially. But he wasn't sitting around trying to explain it away. He was getting coaches fired. He was getting involved in the draft. He was trying to control his situation. Now, you might say, oh, Anthony Davis did that by getting traded to LeBron's team. Okay, fine. That is the one time he was assertive. Maybe that's enough. But his personality, looking back, making it. He said in another clip I heard, oh, well, you know, they said they had my best interest at heart, but, you know, I'm not sure about that. And his voice trails off. It's like, really? You don't think? I mean, maybe they didn't, but boy, that seems unlikely that you would be the franchise player for the Pelicans and they don't have your best interest at heart. It just strikes me Davis has a lot of qualities that aren't really associated with winning. And he's obviously talented, but the difference between making the finals, making the conference finals, or the NBA finals and winning it, it's two different things. I'm just not sure.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.